You're listening to Goons, Games, and Gear, the sexiest gaming podcast in the world.
I think it worked. I think we're live. I think everything's okay. Hopefully it is. I'm not sure. I'm your host, Derek. Other Derek is not here tonight. He's taking care of some stuff at home. But Rob's here. George is here. We're going to have a good time. I mean, I wish it was happier news to start with, but it's not.
Oh, we've got hit with some pretty heavy stuff, didn't we?
Yeah. So Akira Toriyama, I'm sure most of you know, creator of Dragon Ball Z, sadly passed away last week. I think it was like pretty sudden. I don't really know if they released like a cause of death or anything, but I don't know. What do you guys have to say? Any highlights? What's your favorite, you know, moment from Dragon Ball Z, or even like your favorite work he's ever done? Like, you know, he worked on like Dragon Quest, for those people who don't know, Chrono Trigger back in the day.
Blue Dragon, I think it was called.
Blue Dragon, which was a banger game. Yes. If you never played
Blue
that.
Dragon was a banger for sure. Yeah.
So he founded Bird Studio, which like helped create like a bunch of like Dragon Ball stuff, Dragon Quest, all these like video
it's
games.
Not gonna be this.
No.
It's not going to be the same, especially since I know I love my DBZ as much as the next nerd on the internet, but I really loved his artwork in Dragon Quest. I can't even tell you how many times I read that Dragon Quest 3 guidebook cover to cover because all of his art was in there.
Oh, yeah. For that. Yeah, it's all like bangers.
So good. And to answer your earlier question, they did release what he died from. It was a acute subdural hematoma.
Damn. That's so sad.
It's a brain clot, right? Or
yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty severe blood clot.
Yeah.
But it's... I didn't even know how to react when I found out. I was taken aback.
I know.
Like, this is the man that was responsible for my childhood.
Yeah, right? Like,
Christ sakes, I'm literally wearing a DBZ shirt right now. This is a 20-year-old shirt that was given to me by my brother.
Yeah.
And oh, yeah. I almost feel like I have to turn around now to kind of show this thing off. I know it's probably not going to be the best, but...
No, it came through. It actually worked
pretty well. Yeah.
But, like... I'm going to say that it's a terrible shame that he passed away, and my condolences to his family and everybody that was affected by this.
Yeah.
But
yes.
I don't want to focus so much on that so much as the happy stuff that we were all given. And as far as Dragon Ball is concerned, I think my favorite moment, even though that I know that he got turned into a jobber beast form, be damned.
Right.
Was the moment that Gohan turned Super Saiyan 2. Because that was our boy. We grew up with him.
Yeah.
Teen Gohan, man, was definitely an iconic moment for me.
The Cell Saga really was peak Dragon Ball.
It really was. I agree. I think Cell Saga is probably one of my favorite arcs of all time of Dragon Ball. I think the main difference for me, though, in the moment in Dragon Ball Z specifically, the one that will always live rent-free in my head was when Trunks first showed up. And
ooh, that was so cold.
And just how dirty he did for, like, Mecha Frieza was just...
Yeah, Chef's Goku kiss, had an entire like arc-long struggle with this man. He shows up like seemingly can't be killed, and then Trunks just jobs him, just absolutely annihilates him.
And it was just so funny because it's like, oh, Super Saiyan, yeah. So what? Oh, ///
and burning attack, God. And bye. And like.
Burning
King
slash,
Cold's
man.
Just like, you killed my boy! Like, hey, can I see your sword real quick? Like, why do I want to give this to you? I just want to hold it. and then tries to kill him with his own sword, like it's going to do anything, and then just murks Frieza's father.
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Doesn't he stop the blade with just the one finger too, if I remember correctly? Like, it comes towards him and he just goes, no. What are you going to do with that? Oh, God.
You know what? Yeah. Understandable. Have a good day.
Future Trunks and then Teen Gohan, Super Saiyan 2. That moment was... You know what? I think it's a cycle for me, right? Because when he hit Super Saiyan 2, he also had a very cold demeanor. I believe there was the dubs. If you watch those back in the day, I want to say that there were times when even like in the anime, instead of like, shut up, Cell, like I'm pretty sure there's a clip somewhere where Gohan, and it's not like a fan altered thing. It was like from the actual show where Gohan's like, can it, asshole? And then he's like, I'm going to kill you. Not even like, oh, I will defeat you. It's like, I will kill you. And I'm like,
this sounds like I don't know if DBZ Kai remastered that at all.
I think it might have been. I think it got cut. Yeah, but yeah, Kai, because Kai added in the blood and stuff that got taken out when it came over to America. But
yeah, and it just got rid of like the filler parts of it or whatever.
Yeah, I just love those cold characters, man. Like, I don't know. Doesn't matter what it is.
Well, edgy in the name, I guess it is what it
That's
is.
That's right. He's living up to
Vegeta. Edge was born in the edge and molded by FTB.
Vegeta rolls onto stage and I'm like, he's a bad guy, but I kind of like him. Trunks comes in. Screw off. I like him. Teen Gohan, I'm like, I like him. But then they did him dirty and turned him. Yeah.
Well, it's how they say it. Gohan never wanted to be a fighter.
Right.
He wanted to be just kind of got pushed student. Into it, which yeah. sucks, but I understand it.
Oh yeah.
Like he did and he didn't. He wanted to so that he could also like participate and help, but Chi-Chi's influence on him was really what forced him into academia. Like she was the one that wanted him to study. He wanted to hang out with Goku cuz he was never around. And then Daddy Piccolo, like, picked up the pace and taught him how to fight. So then he was like, oh, I'm going to fight for Piccolo and try to win the approval of my dad. Oh, my dad loves me? Oh, I just saved the Earth? Yo, I'm out. I'm done. I did it. Back to school. I'm going to get married. I'm going to be around for my kid.
Smash the daughter of the most popular man on the planet. Just homeboy had it made.
Can we homeboy talk had about... it made. Can we talk about how... they had to change his name to bring the show over to America? Like, why?
Yeah, it was because it was still around the age where America was on their fucking Christian televangelist hokum.
Right, they were just getting over the, what was it called with D&D? The, like,
D&D. Oh, yeah, the Satan worshipping
Satanic
cult.
Panic. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, they were just
Satanic
getting over that.
Panic, that's what it was called.
Yeah,
man.
Back in the 80s.
They just don't make up bangers like that anymore. Satanic Panic? Fuck, that'd be such a band.
Band name.
Piccolo
calling
found
it.
Love. He's just a single dad now. That's, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But yes, Akira Toriyama, so many great moments. On a side note, it's still relevant, but I think we can all agree that there was a movie that was made that never should have been made and was horrendous. A fun fact about this, the live-action Dragon Ball Evolution movie, is Justin Chatwin, the actor who played Goku, went online and gave like a heartfelt like goodbye to Akira Toriyama and, on his like Instagram or whatever, and it says, "Rest in peace, brother. And sorry we messed up that adaptation so badly."
What a homie, dude. He homie. Knows. He's got
he knows,
know, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought that was cool. I mean, I'm sure if he had had the chance to talk to Akira Toriyama, he would have apologized many, many times, like, to his face. Like, yo, I'm sorry, man. Like,
right. Like,
I wanted to be a part of it because I love your work. But
I was just making bank that day.
I was acting. It was too late to pull out, you know. But I thought that was cool that he...
Hey, you know, the condom ruptured.
Yeah. Yeah. I had bills to pay. I'm not proud of it.
Now I got child support to deal with, and it's just kind of just, you know, it's just like, can I just get some change? Some change real quick. Yeah.
Change. I want change. But yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, Dragon Ball, obviously. That was like, I think, pretty much almost everybody's like baby's first anime, right? It was like Dragon Ball, Naruto, One Piece back in the day, the big three. And it's like,
that's not the big three.
No. Bleach. Sorry, George. Bleach just, it doesn't have the hit of the other three, I feel like.
It really didn't. I could not get snake myself.
It's sad to accept, but the Bleach.
I tried.
Dragon Ball is not part of the big three.
He's the grandpa.
The big three is not subjective. He is the father of the big three. Dragon Ball is the father of the big three. Without Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, we would not have gotten Bleach, Naruto, and One Piece. Everybody refers to the anime, but the big three is about the manga. And the Bleach manga was a banger. The anime? The anime? No, like, it... Even the anime, I struggled with watching. Like, there's too many filler arcs that don't make sense, and then they make it canon, and, like, it's not necessary. But if you ever read the manga, it's really good. But yes, no, it's not subjective. It is fact. It is highest-selling manga sales of the time. There's no debate.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk about where things would have been without Fist of the North Star, without JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
I'm not saying that there wouldn't be other things. I'm just saying...
No, I agree that it was a really
shonen
drive, very
of the shonen manga.
For shonen. Yeah,
yes,
that's
for
fair.
Shonen manga, it was the overwhelming force for shonen.
Right.
Makes sense. I don't know. I just wanted to be that particular. And also just that's absolutely fine. Shill Fist of the North Star any chance I get. But speaking of shill... remember to like the video, comment the video, and subscribe if you want to see stuff similar to this one. Also, join our membership. It's $3. You get to be cool people, and you get to hang with us. It's great. It's awesome, and you'll be cool, and you'll feel better for doing it. Do it. It's only $3.
That's right. And hi to everybody in the chat. We'll call that out right now. Come watch us live every 2 weeks on Wednesdays on YouTube. Everybody's in the chat hanging out, just talking about whatever we're talking about. One more shout-out before we get off of Akira Toriyama is that so he made a game studio called Bird Studio. They helped make like Dragon Quest games, obviously all the Dragon Ball Z games, everything. They actually just released a new game literally like 2 weeks ago. So this was like his last work in the video game sphere. It's called Sandland. It's based off of it's based off of his manga that I believe was the one right after Dragon Ball Z finished. Before he like went back to Super and everything, obviously. Go check it out. I've actually heard like really good things about it. It plays like Dragon Quest almost from what I've heard. It has that big like open world like RPG aspects to it. You play as a guy called Beelzebub. I've never read the manga or seen the anime or anything like that. It was only like a 14 issue one shot, we'll call it, that they did for like a couple of months in Shonen Jump in the early 2000s. So go check it out. Bandai Namco like published it, so they released it everywhere.
Real quick on the Sandland thing, I actually got to play a demo of it at Comic-Con.
Oh nice.
It was very fun. People who have played it, plays like Dragon Quest. Another similar game. It does play very similarly to Blue Dragon.
Oh nice.
I had a ton of fun playing the demo. It is a little bit of like the similar style, like newer concept button mash kind of gameplay that you've gotten from like the Dragon Ball Kakarot. How like, you know, you're hitting just like the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very simple controls. But there was so much to it. In the demo that I played, you get your little submarine that like submarine tank basically that runs on the sand, and you're running from like a giant monster from behind you. It was so cool. It was so much fun. definitely worth checking out. Good shout.
I really love the look of this so far, because it seems like they're focusing a lot on the fact that Akira Toriyama really liked to draw his machines.
Yes, yes.
And I took one look at the Steam page for this and looked at the little animated GIF that they have of a little bit of a teaser for the combat, and like, right. I got Chrono Trigger vibes immediately.
Yep.
It straight up looked like Robo. It looked like Robo.
Right.
And
the demo was a lot of fun. It's definitely worth checking out.
Oh boy, this looks good.
Yeah. I also played the demo at Comic-Con in a replica of the tank. I sat inside of it and played on a PS5. It was cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I think Liza has a picture. If I find it, I'll put it on the Discord. That's so awesome. Join our Discord while we're circling back to Shilling. You can see stuff like that. And hang out and chat with us and join in our community nights that we do at least once a month, if not more.
And
Akira Toriyama.
Anybody that's curious, this game comes out on April 25th, 2024. I will gladly take a page out of George's book. So long, Akira Toriyama. Thank you for the memories. You've given me a childhood I never thought I would get to have.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, absolute legend. We got Dragon Ball Z Sparking at least to look forward to. As for the fate of like Dragon Ball Super, you know, I mean, I'm sure he has notes. I'm sure he has things planned for that like we'll see an end to that, and that'll kind of be the end of it. But yeah, I don't know. It's terrible news, but I don't know. Life goes on.
Life unfortunately goes on. Don't be sad that it's over. Be happy that it happened.
That's right. On to the next video. Honestly, this is kind of more disappointment. Rob, I don't have an article for like the actual announcements, but so Capcom had its Monster Hunter 20th anniversary showcase. I'm calling it a showcase. It's a garbage announcement, right? They announced two things. One was kind of already announced, the other wasn't. Rob, if you want to go over like what they announced and
So this was already kind of in the works as it was, but they revealed that Monster Hunter Stories, the first one, would be coming to the Switch this June, which, you know, you're essentially playing Monster Hunter flavored rock paper scissors. Speaking of which, Stories 2,
banger,
really
banger,
good.
Banger,
really good. But, the other thing is that instead of maybe something like GU or 4U or 3U even, Tri as some of us know it as, or anything of an older Monster Hunter to kind of tide us over, we got a top monster poll.
Yeah,
that we heard of, that put all 229 monsters in the series against each other to see which one came out on top. And so we won't go through the whole list. You can always find this video out online. I believe there's a NintendoLife.com article that covers this, which is absolutely not what I'm pulling this from. But for anybody that's curious, I do have a top three for you.
What was our top three?
So, taking third place was the Leviathan Lagiacris, which is basically I think it was the flagship monster for Monster Hunter 3. And they had a whole thing with underwater combat in that game, which was kind of clunky, in my opinion, but what do I know? Big electric Leviathan was third place, and
Pretty cool.
I'm sure it's a cool monster, but my boy Gormagala deserved to be in third place, so I'm a little salty about that, actually.
I'm surprised none of the Elder Dragons made the list, but I guess they were kind of like...
Actually, an Elder Dragon did make the top three.
Well, yeah.
So, which brings me to my next one. Number two on the list came in Monster Hunter World and was the flagship Elder Dragon, Nergigante, which...
Wow. Which
my boy made it.
Nice.
Like, I had a lot of fun learning how to fight Nergigante, Arch-Tempered Nergigante, Ruiner Nergigante. It was just, oof. such a good fight. He's just so, he's just such a jerk. I love it.
Yeah.
He just kind of throws shade with anybody. It doesn't matter. Just such a good monster. Really love him. But that's not important right now, because you all want to know what the fan favorite monster is in this entire series, what everybody loves.
It's gotta be Pookie Pookie, right?
It is not. It is, in fact, the electric...
Is it Anjanoth?
No. It is the electric Fanged Wyvern Zenogre. This big, fluffy, electric asshole that cannot stay still that was debuted in Monster Hunter Portable 3rd.
Huh.
Is the most popular monster. Which I would agree with that. Zalabim is a very fun fight.
Right. And he's like, he's been in every one, right? For the most part.
He, since his debut, I'm pretty sure he's
And he's like usually a staple. Like, I think I ran him in Monster Hunter Stories 2. He was on my team for a while.
I too ran Zenogre.
Yeah. I don't remember if I had him in 1. It's been a while, but yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah, he's
when
he's the
I
most
think Monster Hunter
reason.
Though, right? Like, I think like Rathalos, you know, like
yeah, Rathalos right? is the Rathalos, flagship of the series.
Right. Like, how did that not make the list? But I guess he's like such a pushover in all the games that like until you get to like, you know, the you know, higher version of Rathalos.
We start getting into subspecies, and then we start getting into like deviants and whatnot.
Right, right. It's like Nergigante, right? They just said Nergigante, but then there's like the 70 different forms of him or whatever, and he just gets progressively harder and harder or whatever. And
yeah, as you go up from low rank to high rank to master rank or whatever, or G rank as it used to be called.
Right.
And then both Rathalos and Raffian had some nasty variants and deviants. Like, I know as far as variants go, Silver Rathalos and Gold Raffian, ooh, those were spicy.
Yeah.
I know it's probably not as agreeable, but one of my favorite Monster Hunter monsters is my Odogo boy, my Odogaron.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
I love him.
Clifford the Big Angry Dog.
Yeah, man.
I gotta say, it's...
I remember when we were playing back in the day, I made Derek go with me and farm Odogaron constantly until I had all of the materials to have the full set. And then he's like, how long are you going to wear that set? And I'm like, forever. And he's like, yeah, but you're going to have to upgrade. I'm like, no. And fun fact, I did not upgrade because I stopped playing shortly after because real life events happened and I couldn't get on the game. So I ended my Monster Hunter with Odogaron.
This is unfortunate because there is so much good stuff. If I had to pick a personal favorite, though, if it would have been my top favorite, it would probably have to be Gormagala, honestly.
Dude, damn.
I was thinking you already know because you gave me that statue and I about teared up at your place.
Yeah. Gormagala is like, a baller.
It's just so clean as a design. Just the whole frenzy virus aspect of it is so good. It's just, and then you either get a chaotic Gormagala, which is just a Shigaru that didn't get to be a Shigaru, and then actual Shigaru proper is just, it's just such a good monster.
You know, another one that I really like though is Nargacuga.
Narga is also a very good one.
That's like another like staple one too. I feel like they've been in the series for a while, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Narga's been in the series for a while. I would have to go on record by saying Rajang is another favorite of mine.
Rajang's I heard good. He was super tough when he was
Furious added. George is not an exaggeration when I call him that.
Actually, you know what? I probably did play longer and didn't. And, like, finally upgraded off of Odogaron set, because I remember, I don't know if I was playing with you at that time, Derek, but I do remember when Devil Ho, or whatever, got
Devil
added
Joe.
In.
Okay. Yeah. So good. I love that pickle.
I remember I thought we tried to do it, and it didn't go well at all. And then the next time we went on to try, it just also failed, and then I stopped playing. But
right.
You got filtered by a pickle. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love like Magna Malo's design too from Rise. I thought he was just like so. He just reminded me of like a big Pig Ganon form, like just that dark energy resonating from him. Like his was
sweet. Magna Malo was a really clean design.
Yeah, I still have to go back and play the DLC for Rise.
Dunbreak was so good.
That's I keep hearing it was so just amazing.
Actually good. And I can tell you right now, you will fight Gore and Shigaru in that. And the fight is actually amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And the new monsters that they introduced, I kinda on the fence about Lunagaren, honestly. But right. Garen Golem, so cool. Like, yeah. Garen Golem was such a cool fight. And the armor you get from it makes you literally look like Mazinger.
Damn, that's awesome.
That's so good. I loved Sunbreak. It was so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta go back one day. I'll probably rebuy it, like, on PC so we could all play. I don't know if there's crossplay or anything, but...
I don't think so, but if we were to do it on Steam...
Yeah, Steam, we could all play.
Make a night of it.
I mean, Monster Hunter is a game that
I get the Sherpa.
Yeah. Yeah, Monster Hunter is a game that I would love to. Like, I tried to rekindle it right before, or right after, the Iceborne, or the Ice, what was that?
Yeah, Monster Hunter Worlds was Iceborne.
Right. Yeah. Worlds is the one I played the most of, but when Iceborne came out, a couple other friends of mine, we all tried to get back into it, and we were gonna run fours, but we had somebody who was Sherpa-ing, and they're like, oh, I'll just wear lower level equipment and go with you guys. And another friend of mine was like, no, I don't want to do that. I want all of us to start fresh. And my friend's like, well, why would I do that?
I agree. Why would I do that?
So
do you know how much work goes into these games?
Yeah, there was a lot of mixed review. Cause he was like, I want to experience it. Cause he had never played. My one friend had never played before. He wanted to experience it from the beginning, learn the mechanics and learn everything that there is to learn about the game. My other friend's like, no. I want to rush you guys to get to the Iceborne content. I want to get you through World and get you to Iceborne.
Right.
And there was mixed opinions. Yeah, and
I did mixed about that too. Why not just enjoy the ride?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's different, but.
I mean, granted, I wouldn't do that now because when I bought the game again on Steam, I absolutely bum rushed my way through it.
Right.
But that's also because, not because I was just like, ah, this game's easy now because of Defender Gear. And like, no, I put about 500, 600 hours in this on PlayStation. I'm not doing that again if I can avoid it.
No, absolutely not. Huh. It was great for its time. I had an unbelievable amount of fun with that game, but I could never. Unless we were, like, all going to play it together, I guess. But, like, I could never, like, sit down and do that again, like, by myself. It was just, like, I don't know.
Well, I can definitely tell you it's a lot easier on PC, especially with the accelerated load times and everything like that. Because, God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God,
back in the days with that launch, with, like, either, like, a slim or, like, a launch PS4 trying to do that. Oh, my God. It was
the system was an aircraft trying to take off loading some of those zones. My God.
It was
rough.
Yeah, you had to be there. Monster Hunter World is actually one of my all-time favorite games.
Honestly, yeah. It's like one of those games I'll look back on fondly and be like, I spent like a ton of time playing that and like playing with people, like George was saying, and would play with like other friends. Like it was just cool. You could like literally like play with anybody. It didn't matter what level you were. Like your gear obviously helped, like, but like, you know, everybody was kind of still like
on the same level. It was just the quality of your gear.
Right.
And you could literally go stop what you were doing and go help people that were lower than you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And the what was it? What is it? Like a flare gun like system is so cool. Like, I love that.
SOS players.
Yeah. Yeah. But
yeah,
I mean, you know, we're talking good about Monster Hunter, but Capcom screwed us for this anniversary announcement.
Yeah,
let's not forget that.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. You gave me some good memories, Capcom, but I thank you for twisting my balls here. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, the only other thing they announced was a Street Fighter VI crossover, which it's like costumes for your player icon, not any of the actual characters. So, like, whoop-de-doo. They did it with, like, Mega Man a while back, too. So, I don't know. I mean, good for them. Yay. Thanks, Capcom.
Small segue that I thought was kind of cool that I had seen an article about. There is a Mega Man crossover with Exoprimal.
Is coming. There really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, boy.
Apparently.
We're going to be severely outclassed.
I am very surprised they're actually, like, supporting that game still. Exoprimal.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be...
I thought it, honestly, died, honestly. Already.
I thought it died too, but if it's still, like, alive, I mean, good. I loved Exoprimal. I had a lot of fun with it.
Oh, it was a ton of fun playing with
everybody. And the sheer dopamine rushes I would get every time I'd rush off into the enemy crowd, parry, and just melt faces. Oh.
So, the dopamine. It is still being supported. So much so that 7 hours ago, was updated on Twitter or X, whichever you want to prefer to call it. A new 10-player co-op mode, Time Loop Rebellion, will be launching as part of the title update 4.
Really?
For Exoprimal.
10-player co-op. Are they adding the PVM aspect now?
I believe. And there is a reveal trailer on YouTube of the Exoprimal X Mega Man collab. So...
so they did Street Fighter crossover as well. And a Monster Hunter crossover where they added the Rathalos in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Interesting. And then, yeah, so Mega Man's the next one. It looks like you can get a Mega Man
suit.
They'll
do that, but they won't give me X9. They won't give me a new Mega Man game. Come on.
Of course not.
Come on. I'm like a Battle Network collection was great. I'm like a junkie. I need my fix.
I would be willing to go back to Exoprimal. That was one that when we started playing it, I thought we were going to put more time into, and we never did.
It's true.
Yeah, they added, I don't know his name, Rob. It's the big yellow guy with one eye.
Oh, the Yellow Devil?
Yeah, he's the boss, I guess, that they're adding for the Mega Man collab.
Okay, so they're going classic.
Yeah,
everything X representation.
It's pretty cool though. And you know what? I had no idea they added any of this stuff. Like I really had thought like this game was kind of like dead on arrival. But I guess maybe like in the East it's doing really well. So
maybe.
I mean, pretty sharp game. I can definitely feel some pay to win going on, but
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah.
Hey, at least it wasn't Gundam Evolution.
Never again.
So what I'm hearing though from this debauchery that is the Capcom because they hate their fans reveal is that Goons Games and Gear might go monster hunting again together.
Definitely when the new one comes out, whatever that
and
is.
And then
wild.
Yeah.
Oh boy. You guys then, aren't gonna see me for a while.
We might see you out there hunting monsters with us. In your overleveled gear.
Rob's gonna blow. Because you'll I was be... gonna say, Rob's gonna blow gonna... past us like he does.
Oh, I'm gonna blow past every single friend I have that ever
gets. It's like,
gets
Rob, you
want to
play with us and have fun? He's like, I'm done. What? Yeah, I'm done.
Guys, I'm already past endgame content. I'm bored.
Like, dude,
I need
I'm literally
new.
In the endgame. What are you
yeah.
talking about?
Yeah, yeah. I'm fighting Elder Dragons. Where are you? I just started.
Rob, I can't beat the Rathalos. Help me.
I'm pretty sure I remember that too. Like, you guys were still on like low rank or just getting into high rank. I'm like, dude, I'm already done.
Yeah.
Like, I'm on like tempered investigations. I'm trying to augment my gear, bro. I'm getting ready for arch temper.
Right. Yeah.
But Goons might go monster hunting, possibly. And Goons might return to Robots versus Dinosaurs.
Yeah. I think
possibly
it's Game Pass. We could do it.
It would be pretty sick. Fun. I had a lot of fun with Exoprimal.
So
play it again.
It is still on Game Pass because one of the articles I looked at just now was talking about Xbox Game Pass's Exoprimal would also include a Mega Man update with the I believe the Mega Man thing comes with that title update 4, so that 10-person co-op should be launching at the same time as the Mega Man cross. So who knows? We'll see.
Cool.
Let us know in the comments or join the Discord and let us know if that's something you're interested in.
Yeah.
Or tell Derek he's stinky. Honestly, you could probably do that too.
Anything, really.
But you can't do that until you join the Discord. You can do the YouTube, but you'll never be able to live with the shame.
Yeah. That's true. Anyway. Next topic. Rob, Remember Hi. RuneScape? Remember that game we still all play because why we like clicking things?
Because I have a mental disorder, what's name I will not mention in addition to my other mental disorder?
Absolutely. The one I was diagnosed with today. Hell yeah. Anyway.
Okay, so I'll gladly take point on this one. So, for anybody that remembers RuneScape, this was a JavaScript-based MMO that launched almost feels like 20 years ago, pretty much. This defined a lot of our childhoods growing up as well. It taught you how scammers operated, what their whole mental case was like. It taught you economics, how to really just chill in the highest degree. It taught you how to have them millisecond clicks just to get one over on somebody because you're fiending for their gear. Whole nine yards. Great game. Absolutely amazing. I almost got killed in the wilderness once, and I got scared of going in there for the rest of my life. Now, you just can't get that kind of trauma anywhere That's else, right. really. But anyway, trauma dump aside, the man that was responsible for RuneScape, Andrew Gower, based out of the UK, along with his brother Paul, they did most of the early development work on RuneScape when it was known as RuneScape Classic, which looks very different compared to how it does now, and founded the studio Jagex that owns it. They cashed out and left Jagex back in 2010, around the time that Evolution of Combat started happening. And I don't blame them on that one. But much of the time that he spent away, Andrew, to be precise, has been spent making another old-school MMO with a grid-based design. Basically, it's kind of like Diablo-ish, or even classic Fallout, where it's isometric, where you're looking at it at an angle and it's grid-based.
Right.
It is called Brighter Shores. It will be a free-to-play game with a cozy, relaxing atmosphere, to quote the Polygon article I'm referencing here, which is set in and around a peaceful coastal town in the fantasy land of Adathria. I hope I'm saying that right. I don't know. I'm always self-conscious about that. There's a heavy focus on there's a heavy focus on crafting, as well as three new character classes to try: Cryo Knight, Hammer Mage, and Guardian. Which, I mean, that sounds pretty close to Muscle Wizard. I'm actually pretty down for that.
Hammer Mage? Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, is Hammer Mage casts fist.
And he says he aims to reduce the grind typical of this genre of game, and that his studio, Fen Research, plans to offer an all-inclusive battle pass, basically, unlocking additional content rather than a lot of microtransactions. So this might be a membership all over again, because I don't know about you two, but I remember the days of begging my parents to pay for a membership fee for RuneScape
Premium, so I could have my dragon armor.
And then once that happened, oh, you were king of the world.
Game over. I could buy a girlfriend at the Grand Exchange.
Ah, the days when GFs only cost 10k and a ring.
Mm. That's right. So I'm watching like the trailer video for it. It like heavily gives that like RuneScape vibe, but like with a twist, which I really like. It kind of has like RuneScape 3 graphics, it looks like, not like old school RuneScape, but that's fine. I mean, you know, a fun, relaxing MMORPG, which is what I use RuneScape for now anyway. I go on, I click some trees, click some rocks, and then I log off after like an hour or two, and then I'm good. You know, I get my fill for the week. I'm excited for it. I don't know. Rob, George, what do you guys think?
I mean, it's Andrew Gower's work. I have a feeling that this man knows just how to tickle my desires in just that right way. I'm very excited for this, especially since this is also done in its own custom engine and programming language, so I'm very interested in seeing how this happens.
Right.
I too would be definitely interested. Apparently it's coming later this year, so
yeah.
I'm definitely down to to give it a shot, especially because I know it's another game, right, that we could all play together. And having you guys who, because again, I played RuneScape for a whole hour and a half, maybe. So I'm not as into RuneScape. Never got around to it. Never had a computer back in the day. So not much has changed. You know, shout outs to Head Goon for not being here and calling out my potato computer.
Damn. He really hurt he you burned. With that one. Yeah.
Don't worry. See,
he
like
Stockholmed you into doing it yourself when he's not here.
Derek, you know my like, personality well enough.
I'll put it out on my own arm anyway.
I'll roast myself. You don't have to roast me, all right? Like, but no, back to circling back. Yeah, I'd love to play, and then I would love to have people teach me more about the type of game, because honestly, just a relaxing game that doesn't take a whole lot of like effort. I know it takes time, but like I don't have to be super mechanically inept. I don't have to, you know, worry about...
You don't really have to do that in Scape unless you're going after high-end PvP and PvM content, but that's besides the point anyway.
Like, if it's a game that will pull me away from constantly playing ARAM on League of Legends, I'm down to play it. I'll try it. Get me off of League. I can't be playing... That can't be the only game I play. So, just give I'm down.
Just give old school a chance again. Then, like...
Yeah... Maybe.
Listen, I'll spot you like a couple of mil. It'll be fine. It'll get you some supplies to get you started, and then I will absolutely proceed to not talk to you while I'm off grinding levels like an absolute gremlin.
I mean, if you just show me what I need to do, then it's a completely different thing. Like, I started playing a new game. I remember telling you guys about it briefly.
Pick a day, honestly.
I've been enjoying this new game. It's just the learning curve for me is so difficult that like I almost feel like I need to stream it on Discord for you guys to watch me play it, and then Derek could like give me pointers, because it reminds me of Cult of the Lamb, and I'm trying to like get my resources and stuff up before like these disasters
there's
happen.
The potato computer.
What's that?
I said there's the potato computer comment in the chat there. what game are you talking about?
Homegrown and Farm Fresh.
The Tribe Must Survive. It was the one I was telling you about. It's similar to Don't Starve and Cult of the Lamb. It's got very Lovecraftian type of vibes, because the shadows and monsters in the shadows take you away. I was playing it the other night, and I actually saw like shadowy tentacles like in, as I zoomed out a little bit on it. It's a hex-based style game where you have to get resources like wood and have your hunters and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'll play that for a little bit after the podcast and just hang out in Discord for anybody who wants to come and chill. But, yeah.
So at the tail end of this, if you're looking for a release date for Brighter Shores, you can expect this to come out in quarter three of 2024. So it's definitely going to be down the line this year, but I can't wait to dedicate some of my time to this. It's just going to be Scape all over again. I'm going to hyperfixate, boys. It's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm super excited. You know, I like try new MMOs as they come out. You know, I've played like Final Fantasy XI in the past, World of Warcraft, RuneScape, obviously was like my long love for many, many years. I tried like RuneScape 3, didn't like that.
That's
on the Steam...
You know, I feel like I almost have to. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
I almost feel like I would have to make a fresh account for RuneScape 3 just to understand the sheer amount of nonsense.
Right. That was part of my problem too when I went into RuneScape 3, was they kind of, if you have an account already, they throw you in and they're like, oh, you know what you're doing.
All right,
just go. Right, right. And you're like, wait, like, I don't know this world. Like, you have to
like,
start.
Like, what's this cash shop you've got here? Like, what is this yak pack thing, whatever? Like, what are even some of these skills? I literally need to be such and such level just to unlock a skill?
Yeah.
Like, huh?
Yeah, it makes no sense. But, like, to have, like, this leisurely game, which, like, recently, like, I've been playing RuneScape you know, every now and then, and I'll go on and I'll just work on my wood cutting and fishing or whatever. But like, this just sounds like it's that, plus it'll have like the hardcore stuff for everybody who wants it, which like is totally fine. Cause then I could like go on RuneScape for like 2 hours a week and then like go on this for like 2 hours a week. And just like, I don't know. It like soothes my crazy brain, just like clicking and fishing, and I catch lobster, and then I see the little you got some XP, way to go.
And, yeah. And then the real cream of the crop, that nice little fireworks show.
Oh, you level you up, and level. It's like
just that.
It's so nice. On the Steam page as well, they show screenshots of the Cryo Knight, Guardian, and Hammer Mage for anybody who wants to check it out. They also explain you can do professions such as fishing, forager, chef, woodcutter, miner, alchemist, merchant, stonemason, blacksmith, and many more. They also show off some of the story elements, which is cool. They show off some of the enemies we're going to be fighting. They also tell you what the premium content's going to be if you buy the premium pass, which is kind of cool. None of it looks terrible. I also assume it's going to be like $10 for the season pass, just like every other game. But go check it out. You can wishlist it on Steam. Looks really cool. And yeah,
similar to RuneScape, it is technically a free-to-play game. They will have, you know, they are going to have payments and things like that, because they got to make money somehow.
Yeah, it's going to be a RuneScape membership type of deal from what I'm seeing here, because the amount of content that you're about to unlock by going on the premium pass, same model. It's going to be a subscription-based MMO.
But you could 100% free to play this game. You might fall behind. You might not have access to all of the classes or all of the jobs or whatever. But it is a completely free to play. So yeah, definitely something to look forward to, and you might see it on the channel.
You probably will.
Yeah.
No, it's not even a probable. You will.
Yeah.
Are we getting count on it? I'm gonna say, are we getting confirmed Rob live stream? Of Brighter Shores?
Dude, I'll go and chop some wood with you. Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
I'll go to bat for it.
Yeah.
I hung out for your RuneScape.
Yeah.
It was a pretty comfy stream.
I think I'm most excited for is the soundtrack. If they give me another sea shanty banger that top tier level of music, that's all I want from it, actually. That's the only thing I care about.
There is a place called Hopeport, so
My hope is in hope.
The hope is there. It is currently added to my wish list as well. So
yeah, I'm excited. Just
amaze me.
Yeah. All right, and our last article.
That takes us to our last article.
That's right. Our fair friends over at Starbreeze have suffered a loss. Starbreeze being the company that made Payday, their CEO has resigned. Tobias Sojourn. That's how I'm going to say his last name, because I don't know how to pronounce that.
Sjogren?
Sjogren? I don't know. What does the two O's over the O mean? Like, I know,
so
like,
in German, that's typically when you get to an O with the two dots on it, that's called an umlaut.
Umlaut?
Yes. That basically means that you go up a vowel, if it makes sense. So
right.
If you were to say it, it's not O, it's a R sound to it. So it's like Sjogren or something like that, I would think.
I want to say that's correct, yeah.
Anyway, that guy is stepping down. I think he's been in charge for like 3 years. So he oversaw like the end of Payday 2 into Payday 3. And I'm sure like that was enough to just like drive him mad and make him quit. I don't really think they give a real reason why he left in this article. It just says like he stepped down. He's going to be replaced. They just don't know who yet, I guess. And then Starbreeze is currently working on like fixing Payday 3, adding DLC to that. They're also working on a Dungeons and Dragons game, which I didn't know about. I think they did announce it during like one of the big press conferences or whatever, but I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think a new CEO really like not even like save the company, I guess, at this point, but like, I don't know. Like, so Payday 2 is still doing really well. Like, there's a big player base for that. But Payday 3, I think, is still kind of like just dragging water, basically. They're just like, they're not doing well. I don't think a player base really ever formed for it, so.
I feel like they're trying to basically pump adrenaline into a near-dead corpse.
Right,
yeah.
At this point. So they did issue a statement on that, where one of their chairmen who issued the statement about Sergren getting replaced by a board member, Jürgen Gerldner, said that he did not cite Payday 3's poor performance as a reason for his departure, instead stating that the company's execution of strategy needs a different leadership.
Right. Oh, so maybe he was just, like, forced out. Maybe they, like, the board of directors was like, yeah, you screwed the pooch with this one. I just got live update from our ground team. Payday 2 has roughly 85 times as many players as Payday 3. So Payday 2 sitting at like 31,000, while Payday 3 is barely over 350. That's insane.
Wow. I knew it was a stinky, but holy moly.
Yeah, right? I mean, how do you even...
And
like,
I mean... Us on the channel remember just how rough that launch was.
Oh my god, I still haven't paid.
It was wild because I thought the network test wasn't that bad.
I still haven't played Payday 3, like the base game, because every time we went to play it, it was broken. And I like only played that beta match that one time.
You were not missing much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I also don't know how I feel about Starbreeze working on a Dungeons & Dragons game. I feel like, you know, Dungeons & Dragons has come a long way, right? Like, from the Satan Panic to, you know, the ostracizing of people who played it as being nerds and geeks and stuff to, like, the mainstream highlight that it is now. I feel like they're just trying to find a way to leech money in an area that they don't even really have like place being in. Like what other things have Starbreeze, like Alone in the Dark? No. Like what other games have Starbreeze worked on? Is it only Payday?
No, they had some, GTFO I think was theirs.
Okay, so a first-person shooter horror game.
Another one, yeah. I think that's it. I think it's all just been first-person shooter
actually,
co-op games.
You know what game? Third-party publishing, so it's not necessarily them. The game that I was mentioning before, as I type in Starbreeze Entertainment, is the very first thing that pops up on their website.
Which one?
The Tribe Must Survive? That game that I was just talking about
a little
while ago. It says third party publishing. So
Okay.
Developed by Walking Tree Games, published by Starbreeze Entertainment. So they published the game.
Right.
But yeah, like
yeah, they are the developer for Payday 3. The publisher is Deep Silver.
Right.
Oh, okay. So they're just a publishing
company. Fun fact, on Steam, Payday 3's reviews, all reviews are mostly negative at 37,000, and recent reviews have been about 550 of them and have been overwhelmingly negative.
Right. It's sad.
Like Turtle versus Turtle.
I've like never heard of any of these things.
Payday 3, RoboQuest, Payday 2, and then Project Baxter, which is the... They did Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, Chronicles of Riddick, Assault on Dark Athena.
The legacy games, that's where they hit their stride.
John Wick, Chronicles, Raid, World War II. So, like, they've got a mixed bag, right? So, but I'm not sure how I feel about a D&D game. Like,
it,
I don't know.
Like, so that's this Project Baxter, if that's the D&D one, I assume.
Yes, that's my current assumption, is that it's operating off of a codename Baxter.
So, like, it could be good. So this one is developed and published by Starbreeze, Project Baxter. So they're, like, actually making that game, it looks like.
Interesting.
I mean, I don't really know. I feel like they might just be better off just like looking to sell. Like kind of partner up with some bigger company.
So you want a bigger company that they're partnering up with? How about Wizards of the Coast and Hasbro?
Right. Make the D&D like an actually licensed game.
They are. Eugene Evans, SVP of Digital Strategy and Licensing at Wizards of the Coast and Hasbro, our collaboration with Starbreeze is a prime illustration of our strategy. Given their impressive games and passion for Dungeons & Dragons, we are confident that they will create an experience that will delight fans worldwide. So, we'll have to see. Apparently that one's not coming out until 2026, but apparently Wizards is also going to be involved in the making of this D&D game. So I will hold, I'll rescind my, I don't know how I feel about this, and wait until more gets revealed on it before I give an actual opinion. First takes, I'm not sure how it's going to go. I don't know if they can pull it off. Having Wizards on hand for the creation might change things, and Brothers was a good game, so I mean they have their name on some good work, but
right,
Payday 3 sucks.
Yeah, they have a decent reputation. They just blew the ball way too hard on Payday 3.
Ooh, and it's going to be on Unreal Engine 5 as well, so we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, good luck to them. I hope they fix Payday 3 at some point. Maybe this shift is what they need. Maybe they do need like a new CEO to come in and be like, hey, what happened? Like, why, how can we go from such a blockbuster of Payday 2 to this? Like,
right.
And like, it, you know, more or less the game's kind of the same, right? Like there's not too many big changes, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, what went wrong in the coding and stuff? But I don't know. Let us know in the comments what you guys thought of Payday 3. You know, was it terrible? Did you get to play it? And has it gotten better? We haven't, I mean, like I said, we haven't played it since launch. So if that, and it was terrible then, but it's been like 6 months now. It's been like, half a year since that game came out.
It's been quite a while. Yeah.
August of last year.
I'm just glad I didn't pay money for Payday 3.
God bless Game Pass. I'll pay for that.
God bless Game Pass.
That's right. And I don't have the intro song, but that's the show, guys. Thanks for joining us tonight here on Goons, Games, and Gear, the greatest podcast in the world. Let us know what you guys thought in the comments below. Like, comment, subscribe, all that fun YouTube jazz. It helps us out, helps everybody out. Become a member today. It's $3. $3. You get cool emotes like this one. And then I have to do it for the vertical too. Like this one, that's one of our emotes. That's Derek. He's just there now, though. He's just a picture. It's cool. We got emotes of Rob, George, myself. It's fun time. Join the Discord. This thing is booming. I mean, you know, we have people in voice chats pretty much every night now, right? I mean, you guys are in the voice chats more than I am, but
just about every night.
Yeah, just about every night.
There's always something going on. Everybody's looking to, you know, hang out, just play games. You know, we've been playing Tekken, Siege, Star Wars Battlefront Collection just came out. We're going to be playing that this weekend, I'm sure. Helldivers 2, you know. It's always a good time, you know. Helps us out, too. Let us know. Give us the feedback. We love the feedback. That's pretty much it. So, you know, we'll see you guys next time. Thanks for stopping by. Bye-bye.
Later on, y'all.